Hey friend, it's Thursday, and today we're going to remind ourselves that Satan is a liar. Well, hey friend, welcome back to the Love Your Bible podcast. Hey, as we think about loving our Bible, it's really important to remember there is one who does not want us to love our Bible. In fact, there is one who wants to get us to distrust our Bible, to neglect our Bible, to not believe our Bible because, well, he's the enemy. And we're going to look at Genesis chapter 3 today because Genesis chapter 3 is one of those passages that if you can remember it, if you can hold it in your mind, if you can carry it with you through your day, you're going to be able to, well, escape a lot of the schemes that Satan will throw your way. Because here's the reality. Satan, he's a liar. That's who Satan is. He lies for a living. That's what he does. That's who he is. He's the father of lies. And we're going to see that our very first parents who were in paradise, I mean, they weren't in a land like ours. They weren't seeing terrible news events. They weren't disrupted by all the sin around them. No, they were in paradise, but they believed the lying words of the ancient serpent. And we're going to see that, well, it destroyed them, destroyed their relationship with God, their relationship with each other. And it all stemmed from a doubt and a denial of God's word. So if we're going to love our Bibles, we have to remember that as we interact with our Bible, well, Satan, the crafty one, he is going to try in every way to get us not to love our Bible. So Genesis chapter 3 starts off like this. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. So we're introduced to the serpent. We're told that he's crafty. Now we know that the serpent, this is Satan. We see that in Revelation. We see the ancient serpent who is Satan himself. So we know that Satan here is tempting our first parents, as we're going to see. So let's read on. Here's what it says. He said to the woman, now just listen to this question. Okay, here's what Satan comes in. Satan loves to ask questions. Okay, here's his question. Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Now, if you have been reading through Genesis 1 and 2, well, you know that God did come up with a rule, right? He first planted all the trees of the garden, and he told Adam, he told Eve, hey, you can eat of all of these. Like, I've made every one of these for you, for your enjoyment, for your pleasure, to give you food, to give you shade. Like, this is for your good. I've made it, but there's one that you don't need to eat of. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you eat it, then you're gonna die. So stay away from that one. So you gotta imagine the garden, Adam and Eve surrounded by hundreds, maybe thousands of just beautiful fruit trees with all sorts of food, shade, goodness, and there's this one they're supposed to avoid. So notice Satan doesn't say, hey, did God really tell you not to eat of this one? What did Satan say? He said, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? See how the question, it twists the command of God. See, God said, don't eat of one. And Satan comes in with a question. Hey, did God really say you can't eat of any of these? Like, they look good. Huh, it seems like God might be holding out on you. So the first thing Satan does with our parents is he tries to get them to doubt what God said. And so you got maybe Eve, because the serpent's talking to Eve right now. She's probably thinking, I don't know. So then it says in verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. So she's getting this right. She's answering correctly. But notice she adds a little something. She said this, neither shall you touch it lest you die. Now, it's kind of interesting that Eve inserts this because God never forbid the touching of the tree. It was just eating of the fruit. So you can kind of get the sense that now that Satan has brought up the question of, hey, what about these rules? Did God really say any? You can't eat of any of these? Now the rule to her, she adds to it. She modifies it. And I found that a lot of times when we struggle with the rules of God, we actually add to them. We actually make them more than they are. So we have this dialogue. So I think the first thing that Satan is trying to do, he's trying to get Eve to doubt what God said. And I think that's exactly what Satan wants to get you to do when it comes to God's word. Like when you're reading, you'll come to a command, you'll come to a worldview issue, you'll come to something that is absolute truth, it's black and white, and then you'll get out in culture, you'll get around friends, you'll get just going about your day, you'll find temptation, and you're like, are you sure God said that? Are you sure? Well, maybe it's okay because, well, I mean, me and my girlfriend, we're in love, so it's okay if we, like, maybe sleep around before we get married because we are getting married. Like you see how it's really easy to, well, I don't really know that God has that much to say about my sexuality. Maybe I can kind of do what I want and it'll be okay. We begin to doubt what God has actually said when often we know, no, there's been commands. Like, he's told us how we should live. So the serpent comes back, and in verse 4 says this, But the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So notice the first thing that Satan does is he wants her to doubt what God said. So let's just doubt him. Are you sure he said that? Is that really a command? Is it really forbidden to eat that? So first, Satan starts with doubt, and that's what he's going to do with you when it comes to the word of God. And then immediately, if you don't bite the doubt hook, then he's going to throw the hook of just straight up denial. So now Satan is denying God's word. I mean, just listen to it again. You will not surely die. So God says, hey, if you eat it, you'll sin against me and you will die. Okay, Satan comes in and says, nope, not going to happen. There's actually no consequences to disobeying God. See how sneaky that is? He first doubts, now he denies. No, nothing's going to happen. You're going to be fine. All of this talk about you need to obey because that's the good life, and if you don't obey, that's the cursed life. None of that is true. God's actually making the whole thing up. Like, you can disobey, you can follow your heart, you can do whatever you want, and life will go perfect for you. You don't have to follow God's ways. Instead, you can do whatever you want, and your life will be fine. Everything will go great. You will not surely die. And then he not only denies God's consequences, but he denies God's own goodness. Here he gets to the heart of why God gives commands. The only reason God doesn't want you to eat that tree is because he knows if you eat it, you'll be like him, knowing good and evil. So you can become God if you just eat of the tree that God has forbidden. And that's what God doesn't want. See, God is holding out on you. God doesn't want you to be happy. He doesn't want you to be your own God. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to be his servant. He's holding out on you. And friend, let me just tell you that this whisper, this doubt will come to you constantly when it comes to trying to follow the Lord through his word. You will deny the word's consequences. You know what you should do because you've read it in scripture. You know the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do, but you will do the wrong thing believing that doing it is fine because God will understand. There will be no consequences. Everything will be okay. You can live a life apart from God and have all of God's blessings because somehow you've been convinced there are no consequences from the Lord. And then you really believe at the end of the day, whenever you sin, whenever you break a command, whenever you disobey the word of God, you are believing a lie. You're believing that life is better outside of God's word, that God can't be trusted with your life. You can't follow him and be happy. Instead, you have to get happiness outside of his will. And here's the reality. Satan is saying, hey, if you eat this, you'll be like God. Well, The problem is Adam and Eve, they're made in the image of God. They already bear the image of God. They are already like God in that way, that God has given them identity that is founded in Him. They don't have to go outside of God to get a different identity. And the truth is they're never going to become their own gods, right? There is one God, and they are made in His image to follow and worship Him. So we see that Satan, he's a liar. He'll doubt God's word. He'll deny God's word. He denies the consequences of breaking God's word, and he denies God's goodness that is given through His word. And that's exactly what Satan is going to do with you as you read the Bible and as you try to obey the Lord through His word. So let's see what's happened. Verse 6 says this. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So notice what's happening now. So you have these questions that are coming in about these rules and about God's goodness and about God's consequences. And so now the woman is staring at the forbidden tree. It's amazing how Satan gets us to look at the things that God forbids rather than all the things that God gives, right? God had given them all the trees of the garden. I mean, she has unlimited supply of amazing trees, and now she's only staring at one, the one that Satan is drawing her attention to, the one that Satan is denying and doubting. And so now the woman sees that the tree is good for food. It's not good for food. It's good for dying, right? Satan is tricking her. He is lying to her, and now she is believing that what is evil, what is bad, is now good. And that's how Satan works in our life. He convinces us that bad things are good things. And so now she believes it's good for food. And it says that it's a delight to the eyes. So she's looking at it, and now there is a delight aspect. What she used to not pay attention to, what she used to walk past, now she is wanting. Now she is delighting. So we see that from her is coming this desire now to want the thing that God has forbid. And then it says this, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. So you have, she's now thinking evil is good. She's now delighting in what she shouldn't. And now she's desiring what God has said no to. So how did all this come about? Well, it started by believing the lies of Satan, by doubting God's word, by denying God's consequences, and denying God's own goodness. Now, what was bad seems to be good. What should be not desired is desired and delighted in. So now it leads her to sin. So she took of its fruit and she ate. She's doing the one thing God had forbidden her to do. Now, a good question is, why did God even say, don't eat of this tree? Like, I get that question quite a bit. Why did God just make nothing forbidden so that there would be no way to disobey Him? Well, I think one of the reasons is because God is the one true King of the universe, and He makes us in His image to be kings and queens under Him. We are supposed to rule, have dominion. We're supposed to rule over the universe, but it is supposed to be under Him, not above Him. So how are we going to know that the cosmos is in the correct order? How do we know that we are not the one God, but instead we are following God? Well, it's if we obey the rules. If we listen to His word, then we know that we are under Him, not above Him. So here's this one rule in the garden that will show, are Adam and Eve ruling the world under God, or are they ruling the world over God? And of course, they fail miserably. And here's what happened to them immediately. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked. So immediately, what happens to them? Once they grab the fruit, once they eat and they sin, everything changes. They are now realizing they are naked. They have shame, they have guilt, and they run and they hide. Next week, we're going to talk about what sin does to us, how it leads to shame and guilt and running and hiding. And we're going to talk about the ways we try to fix that, but the way God actually fixes it through the gospel. Here's what I want you to remember today. Satan, he is a liar. He is going to lie to you about God's word. He's going to doubt God's word. He's going to deny God's word, deny its consequences, and deny its goodness. So as you love your Bible, as you read the word, don't listen to the lies. Instead, trust in the Lord, that his ways are good, that he is good, and that obeying his word and the power of the gospel is where true life comes. Satan's a liar. Don't believe him. Go love your Bible.